Congratulations, you. You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, you are.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin.
That's right, you're listening to the R1 News at 1. I'm your news host for today, Jemima Lorimer. I've got the bulletin coming up for you very soon, and as well as that, we have a very special interview with Farley Gilmore, who'll be speaking on behalf of Save Dunedin Live Music. We'll be talking about the DCC's commitment and passing a motion to have a music advisor to carry out the Otepoti Live Music Action Plan with them. So stay tuned. That'll be going down at 1:30 p.m. So I'll be back with the bulletin in just a moment. But first up for you, this is Vera Allen featuring Ollie Devlin with Danger.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 14th June. I'm Jemima. In Otepoti news, Dunedin City Councillors have voted to allocate staff resourcing to deliver the Otepoti Live Music Action Plan, the ODT reports. Councillor Steve Walker made the proposal, which would see one person on the council as a single point of contact for the music community and ensure the delivery of the plan. This would use already existing staff and not require a new financial commitment. The Otepoti Live Music Action Plan, or OLMAP, was developed between Save Dunedin Live Music and the DCC from 2021 to 2023, initially addressing challenges faced by the local music scene stemming from noise control on inner-city venues. It went on to be the plan demonstrating the DCC's commitment to Otepoti's live music scene and includes the support of music venues. Councillors voted 7-4 in favour of the staffing, with Mayor Jules Radich, Deputy Mayor Cherry Lucas, Councillors Bill Acklin and Lee Vandervis voting against. The ODT commented that, quote, the Dunedin Mayor was out of tune with fellow councillors. At 1:30 p.m, we'll be joined by Farley Gilmore, a co-founder and member of Save Dunedin Live Music, to talk more about the importance of this motion being passed and any other developments for OLMAP from this meeting. In student news, Auckland University remains Aotearoa's top university, the latest international rankings show. The uni placed 65th place in the QS World University rankings this year, making it the only New Zealand university in the top 100. It also placed 5th in its sustainability ranking. The University of Otago was Aotearoa's second highest placed university, taking out 214th place. This is a drop from last year, where it took out 206th place. Otago ranked 12th worldwide for its sports subject ranking. It has 3 more subjects in the top 50, being anatomy and physiology, dentistry, and hospitality and leisure management. Otago ranked 48th in sustainability. In national news, New Zealand Opera becomes the first in the world to provide Braille surtitles for blind and low-vision opera goers with their season of Rossini's Le Comtori, The Guardian reports. The technology, developed by NZ Opera's General Director Brad Cohen and his company Context.live, allows vision-impaired opera goers to access the opera's surtitles through their phone and send these to the attendee's personal Braille reading machine simultaneously to the sighted audience reading translations on the opera screen. For low-vision attendees, the same technology also allows them to read the translations as larger text on their device. Until now, the primary options for vision-impaired opera goers to understand opera text has been through audio descriptions that interfere with the listening experience. The tech underwent its first successful trial during New Zealand Opera's Auckland season of Le Comtori, which has been praised for its reimagining of its setting in Aotearoa, taking place at a wellness retreat, Chateau Whare Ora, and its incorporation of New Zealand slang into the French libretto. The Braille surtitles will remain a permanent option for New Zealand Opera. Paul Brown, co-director of audio-described Aotearoa, and a blind opera fan who assisted Cohen with the technology and was part of the trial, described the accessibility it brought to opera as life-changing. Cohen hopes the technology will be adopted by others in the live performance realm, with it having a huge potential for things with an existing script and conferences. This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 14th June. Today's bulletin was written by Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Jemima Lorimer.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
This is the R1 News at 1, only on Radio 1 91 FM. I'm your host, Jemima. Make sure you keep it locked. At 1:30 p.m. we will be joined by Farley Gilmore to talk about the OLMAP, and she'll be speaking on behalf of Save Dunedin Live Music. Next up for you, I have a lovely track by Beatwix, who just released their incredible debut album, Cryathlons. This is the leading single from that album. It's Slug Level Standards on Radio 1, 91 FM. Welcome back to the R1 News at 1. That was Christoph Altruento with Nov. Right now, I am joined in the studio by Farley Gilmore, a co-founder and member of Save Dunedin Live Music. She is also a musician playing in the band Hysteria and a percussionist in the Kaikarai Brass Band. Save Dunedin Live Music is a group made up of local musicians, artists, events, production specialists, academics and venues formed to lobby the DCC to consider Otsipote's music scene in their resource consent process in response to issues around noise control and measures on venues. And in response to this, the Otsipote Live Music Action Plan was created, a commitment from the DCC developed alongside Save Dunedin Live Music, to support Otsipote's music scene. Kia ora, Farley. Welcome to the R1 News at 1. So, the DCC has committed to staffing a music advisor on the council as part of the OLMAP, as part of a meeting in its annual funding meetings, as reported by the OTT. What other developments have happened so far with the OLMAP, and how have Save Dunedin Live Music been finding its current progress?
So, first up, I'd just like to say the OLMAP is a culmination of a few years of work on the DCC side, some amazing work being done, also obviously Save Dunedin Live Music, but a range of other stakeholders and people from the community all contributing. It was really exciting to see the council support that and to decide to implement this plan. And at the most recent meeting, what we saw is the council committing to this motion to having a person who will be the key point person of this plan. What that's actually going to look like, obviously there's some operational aspects there to work through, but it's really exciting progress. In terms of what we've seen so far, obviously some aspects of the plan have already been happening. You know, we've seen some really exciting things happening in the community. There's more workshops, to provide professional training and so on. I know Sean, who used to be at Radio 1, has been involved in some of that. And that's great to see. One thing that us here at Save Dunedin Live Music would like to stress, though, is we're really talking about a live music ecosystem, and some of the challenges we face or things we need to improve on are broader issues around regulation, planning and so on, and they need a bigger commitment than just a small workshop or a one-off thing. And we're really excited to have a single person accountable for the plan so we can start looking at these more broader issues and start working on them.
Of course, of course. Yeah. And so that individual would be someone already on council?
Absolutely. So it would be within the existing budget and, not necessarily an entire role either. It might be like a 0.8 or a 0.6 of someone's role. The key issue is sometimes we see a lot of momentum, a lot of movement from a community and then commitments to doing things, plans put in place, strategies put in place. But unless someone is accountable to and committed to that role, you know, a lot of us in really busy organizations end up just trying to put out the most immediate fire in front of us. We don't do the long-term strategy work to actually, get bigger things done. The other thing is people assume music is just arts and culture, but in terms of a music ecosystem in a city, it's also about regulation, it's about planning, it's about, you know, buildings and property. You need someone who's going to be able to bring those often slightly siloed aspects together in a coherent way. So yeah, within the operating budget already of the council, it needs to be someone who can connect those things for the council. And it also needs to be someone trusted by the music community. So yeah,
definitely. Awesome. Are there any commitments in the OLMAP that Save Dunedin Live Music would like to see happen in the close future, say this year, from the DCC?
Yeah, so, and we have to be a little narrower than usual. Right now we're working on one annual plan and then a 9-year plan instead of the normal 10-year plan because of some, you know, operational aspects of council, which I'm bore people with. But certainly in the next year, what we want to see is this person put in place so that we have that leadership for the plan. We also would really like to see, as many of the listeners might know, the council owns the building of Sammy's, which was one of the main and most beloved music venues in Otipoti, Dunedin. And there's discussion about whether we can afford to fix it up for purpose in terms of earthquake strengthening and so on. Right now there's just not a number on that. We would just like a actual budget on how much that costs so the community can decide if that's a priority or not. We don't know what the community will decide, but it's just right now it's very wishy-washy. We'd like a number on that. We'd also like scoping in terms of rehearsal spaces, because that is definitely a key thing that the community have told us, that access to rehearsal spaces is really key to a music scene.
Very fair. The OLMAP is a very broad plan, and it has those recommendations across the four areas, which is support for musicians and for audiences, the ecosystem and the infrastructure. Throughout the OLMAP's implementation, are there any other major commitments that you hadn't mentioned yet that you would like to see?
Absolutely. One of the things is a commitment to some funding for music venues to meet changing requirements around building, particularly if it might be around soundproofing or earthquake strengthening. The thing is, music venues are never going to be operating on massive budgets, but we have some amazing venues that are operating and might just need that little bit of extra help to meet specific standards that they might not need to. So there is a commitment in there in the plan and to actually see that put in practice. The other thing is often we're not actually asking that the council give something to the music community. It's that we actually have a district plan that renders music venues and rehearsal spaces incredibly precarious, incredibly vulnerable to noise control. We are not providing kind of entertainment districts in the way that Wellington or Queenstown or so many cities in the world do. So for a city that prides itself on its music scene, its music history, the Dunedin sound, we're actually not setting up a planning and regulatory environment in which people can make that happen. And planning and making changes to the district plan based on the Live Music Action Plan and its goals, that's not something that needs additional budget. That's something that the planning department can just do. What it needs is the will of council to make it a priority. So we would really want to see that happen to give more opportunities for existing venues, but also make it viable to set up a venue and not think it will be precarious and constantly challenged by noise regulations.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And as part of Save Dunedin Live Music, and you're a musician yourself and you're a very active member of the community in Otipoti just more generally, what does the implementation and the follow through by the council of the OLMAP mean to you?
Well, personally for me, I moved to Dunedin from Melbourne, and Melbourne obviously has an amazing music scene, and I thought I was moving to quite a little city. I didn't know much about it, and one of the things I was so excited to find is how many amazing bands, how many amazing initiatives were already happening in Otipoti, Dunedin. So I want my city to stay fun and vibrant, but also in some of the other research that I do in my role as an academic, I look at the impact of performing arts for incarcerated people or people who've experienced a lot of trauma. And one thing we know is that the performing arts, all the research shows it helps our psychological well-being, it helps our community, it helps our social relationships. It's also actually important from, like, you know, a spiritual sense, and it also just makes the city fun for our young people. So those are all reasons that I'm really excited that the council has got behind this plan, and that they have, you know, also this motion to have someone to lead it means they're not just behind it, they're actually willing to be accountable to it and to make it happen.
Lovely. So well put, and really beautiful answers. Thank you so much, Feely, for coming on to the R1 News today. That has been Feely Gilmore, co-founder and member of Save Dunedin Live Music, talking to us about the Otipoti Live Music Action Plan. Next up for you, we have a track from Hysteria, a band that Feely is part of. This is Friendship Combat. Keep it locked to Radio 1, 91 FM.
Thank you for listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.